£800 Gorilla Records.
Ah, different opinions. As Raheel Farouk once said, men are different, sheep are all alike. As you can imagine by now, this episode of £800 Gorilla is all about different perspectives and how we perceive the world around us. It is true, people's lifestyle can really change depending on where someone lives. Some extreme shows, like Naked and Afraid, are not as extreme as they seem if you're already living in the wild. Francisco Ramos has something to say about that.
So as a stand-up comic, I travel a lot, and I also go to sleep late at night, so I watch like a lot of bad TV. I've been watching the show Naked and Afraid. If you don't know what this show is, it's a reality show where they take a man and a woman, never met each other before. They put it in the middle of the wild, like in Africa, you know. And they have to survive with no food, no water for 21 days. And they're naked for some reason. They basically took the idea of Survivor and then how we can make it different, you know. And they're having a meeting, you know. And some pervy guy in the meeting was like, I know what to do. But in the show, they always show the contestants trying to survive. They never show the people that live in the wild in Africa. I want to see them. I want to see them watching the contestants play. Because I bet they're going like, wait, they're just walking around naked looking for food and water? I do that every day. Can I play? I can win this. And I'm not afraid. I think to me, they should make the show here in the US, where they take a guy from Africa and they put him in a mall. Like the day after Thanksgiving, you know? Be like, your mission is to get a flat screen TV. Oh, you're gonna be naked. They're gonna be afraid. By the way, it's called Black Friday. It has nothing to do with you.
Gender equality is a hugely discussed matter nowadays. Unfortunately, though, certain countries seem to have more gender equality than others. However, according to Andrew Schultz's theory, these countries seem to have the best cuisines.
There's no nuance anymore. Nothing's all good, nothing's all bad. Right? Like, there's a lot of countries in the world that treat women like shit. That's fucked up. But they got the best food. That's undeniable, right? The more a country's like, stay in the kitchen, the better the food comes out of the kitchen, right? It does. It comes out more delicious that way. Have you ever eaten food from a country where the women are equal? Oh, get the fuck. Get it away. Get away. What is that? Equality cuisine? Move it. Move it. Move. Nobody in this room has ever said, you know what we should do for dinner tonight? Canadian. Never been said. Never once. Canada treats their women equally. Their food is fucking dog shit. It's disgusting. Canadian bacon? Kill yourself if you like Canadian bacon. What is this coaster of ham? What am I looking at? Canada, not everything has to be a hockey puck. You know that, right? I don't even like that they call it bacon. You're just piggybacking on how delicious bacon is. It's insulting to bacon. I got a gay friend, he calls his butthole his back pussy. That's Canadian bacon. That's what that is. That's what that is. Don't Canadian bacon your asshole, okay? You know what it is. All I'm saying is you need oppression for a flavor. That's where the flavor comes from. You need it. Look, understand, I don't want that. Okay, I don't want the oppression. I'm someone who loves women, okay? Obviously, as someone who loves women, I wish women, you had it in you to go in the kitchen on your own. Right? Like, you know, make the food tasty. Unfortunately, history shows you need a little bit of a nudge, you know. And then lasagna, that's how we get lasagna. If you want the lasagna, you can't have good lasagna without a, what the fuck is this, Marie? That's. You call that lasagna, Marie? My nonna spinning in her grave right now if she looking. You flip that table, next week's lasagna, mwah, unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. I'm telling you, I looked this shit up. I looked up the most equal country in the world in terms of gender. Do any of you guys know what it is? Sweden. You're absolutely right, whoever said Sweden. There you go. Sweden, most equal country in the world. More women in government, more female CEOs, and more female engineers than any other country in the world. Swedish food, horrendous. Disgusting. They only sell it at IKEA. You can't even buy Swedish food. You can't buy Swedish food. They don't have restaurants. They make you walk a maze for 12 hours. You have to. They lock you in an airplane hangar for 12 hours, and then they lie to you about where the exit is. Oh, exit to the right. I've been turning right for 3 weeks. I want to see my family, IKEA. I want to go home to my family. Let me out of here. What do I have to, give me the meatballs. I'll eat the fucking meatballs. I don't care. You've pushed me to the point of starvation. I don't care if there's horse in them. Put the sea biscuit balls on a plate. I'll fucking eat it. Just saying. Then you look at the Middle East, right? Rough for women out there. It's disgusting the way they treat women in the Middle East. You want to know what's not disgusting in the Middle East? Halal, guys. Middle Eastern food is so good, the women have to wear a veil so they don't eat it. That's how delicious Middle Eastern food is, if you didn't know. Wikipedia that, all right? Anyway, I'm learning about Egypt. A bunch of fucking liars in Egypt. I just want to point that out. Liars. All of them fucking liars. I'm supposed to believe 4,000 years ago, you guys built the pyramids, right? And then for the next 4,000 years, you built jack shit? Not happening. Not happening. You built the greatest thing ever created by human beings 4,000 years ago. And then for the next 4,000 years, the best thing that you can create is cotton sheets? Fuck you, Egypt. I don't... I'm not a stupid person. I'm not gonna believe some bullshit lie like that, okay? I do some more research. Turns out, they didn't even build their own pyramids. Do you know who they say built the pyramids? Who do they say? They say that the Jews built the pyramids. Look, I think they got the contract. I don't know. I don't know if they put all the blocks on top of each other, you know? I think they hired some Mexicans. You're Mexican. Yeah, you guys probably did it, you know? That's... For real. That's why people are always like, the aliens built the pyramids. It's like, yes, illegal aliens built the pyramids. It's the wrong aliens, you know? You want to know some fucked up shit, though? Are there pyramids in Mexico? Yeah. Beautiful pyramids, right? Gorgeous pyramids in Mexico. Nobody questions who built those. There is no hour-long History Channel special. Who built the pyramids in Mexico? Mexicans, motherfucker, that's who built it. There was a quinceañera, they needed a tent, you know? Had that shit up by Saturday. Aliens probably came, but they're like, we got it, don't worry. You go help the Jews, they're struggling in the desert.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Morgan McLean. So how did you get involved with Sunday Brunch?
We were up for a Time Out Award for Best Shop in Muswell Hill. Won the award and I was over the moon, drinking the free champagne like no one's business.
Sure.
I go up to the stage, I'm crying so much, I'm so drunk, like so drunk.
Yeah. Like, did you swear?
Yes, we were on television, like I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I got through the segment and Tim went like that on my arm, held my arm, was like, sorry about the swearing. And I was like, shit, did I fucking swear?
Nick and Nat's Fan Club. Every Friday from 12 p.m.
Fubar Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on Fubar Radio.
Hi and welcome back to the sixth and last episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. This episode is all about how we perceive the world around us. Discovering other cultures can be a very pleasant experience. However, sometimes there can be a fine line between cultural appreciation and cultural appropriation. Gina Yashir explains how wearing a Japanese kimono in the Chinese Garden of Friendship can go really south.
Sydney, Australia, Darling Harbour. There's a place in Sydney, Australia, Darling Harbour, called the Chinese Garden of Friendship. It's a Chinese garden, obviously, of friendship, and you go there, preferably with a friend, and you walk around this Chinese garden of friendship, and it's got lots of beautiful plants and trees and koi carp swimming around, and it's very nice. And it was at the time I went, 8 years ago, it was about $5. For an extra $5, you can walk around the Chinese garden of friendship dressed as a Chinese person. I'll let you soak that one in. Now, I looked at that and I thought, somehow, I don't think I'm going to pass. But I'm going to give it a go. I was like, bring forth the Chinese outfit. I want to dress as a Chinese person. And they brought out the outfit, and this is where the racism went up another notch. They brought out the outfit. It was a kimono. 12 of you got that. Well done, Brixton. For the rest of you, who didn't do geography at school. Kimono is Japanese! Chinese guard the friendship, Japanese outfit. Australians don't give a shit. They're like, ah, fuck it, no real now, this don't look the same, don't they? No real fucking now, this whatever, whatever. I'll give you other examples of Australian racism. I could not get a taxi in Sydney, Australia. Outside my hotel in Sydney, trying to get a taxi, and all these taxis driving past me, and they've all got their lights on, but none of them are stopping. Then one particular taxi drives past me and stops 100 metres up the road for a white woman, and I was like, no, he never. And I ran to the taxi. Now, I had no issue with the woman getting in the taxi. I wanted to talk to the taxi driver, but poor white woman sees black woman running towards her at night. She was like, ah! And she clutches her purse to her chest and she's gone. She's gone into the night. She was so fast. I was like, wow, are there white people in Kenya? This woman's got to be Kenyan. She's so fast. So I took that taxi, it was a shame to waste it. And I got in, I said to the taxi driver, you saw me standing and you drove past me and you stopped for somebody else, why'd you do that? And he was like, nah, listen mate, it was dark. I'm like, what? He goes, nah, not that, mate, nah. It was dark, and I thought you was an Airbo. I was like, what? I thought he was an Aborigine, mate. I thought he was an Aborigine. And I was like, you should have left it at, it was at dark, mate. You should have left it there. I said, like, what, why don't you stop for Aborigines? He's like, well, I don't stop for Aborigines, because what happens, they get in me cab, and they take me around in circles. They take me round in circles. and get me all lost and shit. And then they take me to an area that I don't know. And then they jump out the cab, they run. They don't pay their fares. They run, they jump out the cab. And that's why I don't stuff for Aborigines. And I was like, all right, so have you picked up every single Aborigine in Australia? And he's like, nah, nah. So I was like, right, so you're judging an entire race of people based on the behaviour of a few. And he was like, yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I was like, well, do you realise if a white guy jumps out of your cab tomorrow, your business is fucked? And he was like, oh, yeah, shit, yeah, right. You're right, black girl, fuck, yeah, shit, yeah. And you know what? He was humbled by that. He was humbled. And so he took me to where I was going. And it was a victory. He took me to where I was going. Yeah, he did. And when we got there, I ran away. I did. But that was to teach him a lesson. It's not just Aborigines. Australia. Nice. Australia. I couldn't live there, though. I like Malaysia. I got robbed in Malaysia, though. Not happy about that. Guy rode up alongside me on a moped and stole my bag off my shoulder. And I wasn't even upset that I got robbed in Malaysia. I got upset that I got robbed and I'm black. What the fuck has happened to us black people? People used to be scared of us. And now I'm getting robbed by little Asians. Spicy food in Malaysia. I like to eat local. I got caught out in Malaysia. I was eating though. I went into this little hole in the wall restaurant and I'm eating the food and the food is hot, spicy. And my stomach is like, rrr. And I'm like, don't worry, Gina, it's just the spicy food. It's good, it's just spicy. And then later on, I'm in the market and I'm just hanging out and I'm buying stuff and I felt a fart coming. And I thought, oh, I'm outside, I'll let it slide out, it's fine. And as I started to let it out, I thought, hold on a minute, that's not a fart, that's not a fart. Farts are not supposed to be wet. And this one burns, it burns. So I ran, I was like, ah! And I ran down the street. And I ran to a KFC and I ran upstairs and there was two toilets in the KFC. There was one regular toilet and a woman had gone in there and there was another, what can I call, unfinished hole in the floor bullshit toilet. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody who's been to Africa, Caribbean, Asia knows what I'm talking about. Them hole in the floor, unfinished toilets. A hole. Why would they build one regular toilet and one hole in the floor, unfinished toilet? They're fucking with us. They're messing with our brains. Have you ever tried to aim your diarrhea? I don't know. I was over this hole like that. Oh, oh Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. And it was coming up. Oh God, Jesus. Oh shit. Oh God. Oh God, I'm wearing flip-flops. This is ridiculous. Oh God. It's like, oh my God, if I shit on my toes, I will kill myself. Worst day of my life.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
The most beautiful person in existence.
It's Glyn Fussell.
Hello, Callum.
I once invited a guy over, and I specifically invited him over for sex. I was very honest and upfront about why I was inviting him over.
Which is political, it's very core.
Turned out he was a Tory, and he came over and literally sat on my bed and talked about politics. There was no sex, and then he left, and I was like, I don't understand what's happened.
I feel like I've been tricked.
that's what the Tories do. Anything for a vote.
Anything for a vote.
Fucking vote.
Yeah, don't let them trick you on Grindr.
Poison Grindr. I mean, that's... Oh,
Harriet Rose.
Will.i.am is joining us on FUBAR Radio right now.
There's things that I've done before that I didn't release.
like a piece of content that I did with Miley Cyrus that was heavy, and we decided not to put it out.
What do you do with that kind of stuff? Do you hold it in a bank, like, I might put this out one day, or is it like, never again, put it away, we won't see this again?
For the Miley Cyrus one, we got rid of it. It was just too heavy.
You just know though, don't you?
This one in particular, the Black Eyed Peas one, I know in my heart that it has to come out.
Joey Page.
I'm very excited to welcome Highly Suspect.
Hello.
Into the studio.
Yeah.
Hey,
what's up? Yeah. Yeah, we have what we like to call pre-show poops. It's when you get really juiced up and then all of a sudden you have to poop right before the show.
Is that on your rider? We must have four cubicles available.
We have pre-show. Four toilets backstage.
Getting excited for the show, it definitely gets you pumped.
You're listening to Food Bar Radio.
Food Bar Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on Food Bar Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the sixth and last episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. This episode is all about how we perceive the world in this new century. It is true, the world is changing so quickly. In the new millennium, everyone seems to be more healthy, but according to Francisco Ramos, everybody is becoming too egotistical.
Now, the world that we live in is just more egotistical. That's what it is. Everybody cares about how they look. I got a friend, for example, who's done the master cleanse for the third time. He just did it for the third time. If you don't know what it is, you have to drink cayenne pepper, lemon juice, and honey for 10 straight days. And he loved it. He's like, bro, I feel so alive. My mind's so clear. I'm like, you're hallucinating right now. You're naked, I'm afraid. Like, I like being healthy, man. I like drinking the juices and the smoothies, you know? But every time I go to the stores, the people that work there, they think they're scientists. I'm like, you're making pineapple juice, relax, okay? No, bro, you gotta try this smoothie, man. These ingredients have been used by indigenous people in the Amazon for over 1,000 years. Yeah, but that's all they got. They weren't trying to be healthy, they're surviving. But everyone wants to look good. Even my mom is into this. My mom came to visit me from Venezuela, and she's like, Francisco, come to a Zumba class with me. I never been to a Zumba class. You know what I realized? The only person that really worked out in the Zumba class is the instructor. Everybody in that class is last. They're all making up their own steps. I saw one lady in the back sitting down clapping. It was my mom.
Talking about the rapid changes that the world is experiencing, social media has completely revolutionized how we handle relationships. This is what Cy Admonson has to say about birthday greetings on Facebook.
I lost a friend recently on Facebook. And I lost him because of this social media interaction. My friend posted, "Happy birthday to the most amazing, unique, creative, wonderful, and inventive son a man could ever ask for. Happy sixth birthday, Timmy." So then I commented on that, "Hey man, why didn't you tag Timmy in your status?" And he replied to that, "Because he is six. He doesn't have a Facebook account." So I replied to that, "Yeah, exactly." I realize only about a third of you are laughing at that because the other two-thirds of you are the pieces of shit that do this behavior. But I am fine turning this show into an intervention. You can't wish someone happy birthday on Facebook if they don't have an account. That means it's for attention for you, and you're a fucking psycho. If you'd have wanted that same perverse positive reinforcement 15 years ago, you know the weird behavior you'd have had to commit to get it from me? You literally had to call me on my telephone. Hey, Si. It's my son Tim's 6th birthday today. So I just wanted to say happy birthday, Timmy. You light up every room you walk into. All my decisions are guided by your presence, and I'm just so happy you're in my life, bud. I love you so much. You're my little guy. Who's my guy? Love, Dad. I love you. Right, so is he on the other line then, or is it a conference call situation? No, he's in his room playing with his stuff by himself, but did I do good? Did I do good? God, I'm so sad. Nah. It's the thing. Facebook has just become a press conference for people who shouldn't be allowed to have press conferences. Press conferences used to be for important people, and now anyone gets one whenever they want. Hey, guys. My name is Jacob. Thanks, everyone, for coming. I just wanted to say that it was tuna fish salad sandwich day in the cafeteria this afternoon. And yum, I love tuna fish salad. Hashtag Miracle Whip, not mayonnaise. Hashtag ciabatta bun. Hashtag ciabatta believe it. Hashtag tuna fish Tuesday. Now I'm gonna open up the floor for comments. Obviously, we are gonna take those in an angry, aggressive, free-for-all manner. Yeah, hey, Jacob, my name is Daryl. I used to work with your mom at Quantech like 11 years ago. I just wanna say that I do like tuna fish salad, but me personally, I'm more of a hot dog guy myself. Yeah, hey, Jacob, my name is Mitch. We went to middle school together, literally haven't spoken since. My comment is actually for Daryl over here. More of a hot dog guy yourself. Ha gay. Yeah, hi, Jacob. My name is Trish. Used to date my cousin. We met at the cabin that one time. I just want to say that I feel like Mitch's comment was a violation of mine and other people's safe spaces. And so if everybody could take a moment to read the 27 paragraphs that I'm gonna post about my travels through Central and Southern America and how that affected my views on PC culture and then give it a like, I think we can really make a difference here, guys. Hey, Jacob, it's me, your cousin Kenneth. We haven't talked in years, you know, for obvious reasons. I just want to say that I think little Miss Trish over here is most likely bleeding out of the bottom half of her body, and Trump is gonna fix it. Trump is gonna fix it. Joke's got a real tester end, doesn't it? Sometimes people hear it and they're like, ha-ha, satire. And then other times, our people are like, I relate and agree with that. And that is what we in the comedy business call bummies.
Parenting can be a hard one, especially if we are talking about vax or no vax. This is what Jim Jeffries has to say about that.
When you impregnate a person that you don't know particularly well, sometimes when it comes to parenting, you're not on the same page. So me and Kate were watching 60 Minutes or 2020 or something like that, and they were doing a story on vaccination. And I turned to Kate and I said, these people who don't vaccinate their kids are a pain in the ass. And Kate said, Hank's not vaccinated. And I went, ah, fuck. You know when someone says something and your brain goes, that's gonna take up a lot of your time, right? Because the whole dynamic of our relationship is this. I go on the road and tell jokes to make the family money. She's meant to stay home and make sure that Hank doesn't die. And between me and you, I think she's doing a shit job. And I said, why isn't he vaccinated? And she goes, I think it leads to autism. And I went, oh, what medical evidence do you have that it leads to autism? And she said, Jenny. And I said, don't even fucking say McCarthy. Don't even say it, because that's not medical evidence. That's Jenny McCarthy. And I have nothing against the woman. She's a comedian and a playmate. They're my two favorite types of people. But I don't get my medical advice from them. It's one of my things. And she went, but her son's autistic. And I went, is he? Is he really? Or is he just Jenny McCarthy's kid? Like, did we expect a member of Mensa to fall out of that woman? And she said, well, what difference does it make? No one gets smallpox, no one gets polio, and it's so frustrating when they say that because you're like, because of fucking vaccination. And I said, and furthermore, my mother had polio. That's true, Gunther had polio. My mother can work polio into any conversation. You'll be having dinner with my mother and she'll go, oh, maybe I will have some chocolate cake. Because I couldn't when I was young. I had polio. I believe that my mother secretly loves the fact that she had polio because polio does a lot of heavy lifting for her shit personality. Anyway, so we fought and we fought and we fought and I didn't win. Can't win every argument. Hank's not getting vaccinated. So, cut to 3 weeks later, we're doing season two of Legit and I had to do a medical... thank you. I think we were the only ones who liked it. We're doing season two of Legit, and the network are trying to insure me for $8 million, because that's how much a season costs, so I have to do what they call a studio physical, and they're insuring me in case I die, because the show would have ended if I died, or also if I got some mental problem and just started stabbing people, that would also... be a problem. So it's like a 3-hour physical. I'm like jogging on treadmills and psychological tests. So I'm jogging on this treadmill with all these things. I'm in this tube coming out of my mouth. And I get off and the doctor's writing something down. And I thought I'd just slip it into conversation. And I went, hey, it's not that important to vaccinate kids, is it? And she went, only if you want them to live, right? She didn't even look up, right? And I said, are you serious? And she goes, let me put it this way, Mr. Jeffries, I would not let my children play with an unvaccinated child. So I thought that's all the information I need. So, behind Kate's back, and this is super illegal, and involves forging her signature 3 times. I booked Hank in to get all of his shots on one day, which the doctor didn't recommend, but I'm a busy guy.
Talking about health, vaccination can be a pain, but what about hearing tests? DJ Demis shares his own experience with his ear problems.
I had to go get a hearing test recently. Round of applause. Who here has ever had a hearing test? Anybody? Oh, okay. Most of you, nice. It's good. It's important. I personally don't like getting hearing tests because, you know, right. I never pass, you know. There's never any good news. And I'm like, wow, your hearing got way better. Wow. You been working out or something? Those eardrums are looking tight. And then what happens? They're just like, yeah, you're still deaf. Oh, thank you very much. But I had to go get a hearing test and my regular audiologist was on vacation. So I had to see this other guy. And he was just like a mean doc. You ever go into like a doctor's office and right away you're like, you're mean. How'd you get into this profession, right? He puts me in the oldest, smallest soundproof booth I've ever been in. Like 2 feet by 2 feet, smallest pane of glass I've ever seen. It's like a 2-inch window to look out of. I'm trapped in there like Hannibal Lecter or something. It's like, I got headphones on, a little clicker, and he's on the outside of the booth with a computer. Whenever he hits a button, I hear a beep in my ear, and I gotta let him know I heard it with my stupid little Jeopardy clicker, right? And they're getting lower in volume each time, the beeps. And I'm like, okay, usually I suck at this, but stay positive. Today's gonna be a good day. and the first beep comes through, and it's like, beep! I'm like, crazy loud, amazing, one for one. Killing it. Second beep comes through, and it's like, significantly lower, but okay. Quite the drop off. Stay positive, it's okay. I didn't hear another beep. I was done after two. Ridiculous. I went premature on my hearing test, right? I had too much pride to admit it, so then like the rest of the test was just me trying to guess when he was hitting his button. Finally, he was like, oh, DJ, the test has been done for 5 minutes. I've just been checking my emails out here if you want to stop hitting the button. What a mean dude. This was the meanest thing he did. He goes, okay, so that was the test with your hearing aids in. Why don't you take them out now? We'll do the same test again. I'm like, well, I just heard two beeps with them in. I think we can probably extrapolate based on that data. If you want to give me the zero, I'd be okay with that. Give me a negative number. I don't care. Just let me out of this booth, right? Why is it padlocked anyway? That's weird. What a mean doctor. You'd never see any other doctor do that. You'd never see, like, a guy with no legs go into his doctor's office. Doctor's like, oh, hey there, Jimmy. How's it going? Why don't you just take off those prosthetics and we'll do a quick running test here. If you want. Quit your crying, Jimmy. It's running time. Mean doctor.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got our second guest of the day, and he goes by the name Darren Harriet.
It's nice because you do a show in like an arts festival and they're much more forgiving. Right. They're arty, aren't it? They're all just like, oh, hello, who's this guy? Let's see what he has to say. Oh, hey, he's from the Midlands and he's black. Oh, this is different. You know, they're relaxing. Oh, yeah, very nice. But I'm like, hey, what about if I'm in Crawley on a Wednesday? It needs to be a real hit them hard show as opposed to like
is that the
sad
is that
stuff.
The comedy equivalent of a Stoke on a freezing Tuesday night for football?
I was going to say Stoke in my head, but I realised there's no Stoke dates. But I was literally going to say Stoke on a Tuesday.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville, every Wednesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi and welcome back to the sixth and last episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. This episode is all about people's different perspectives. With the rise of social media, it is very easy to jump to conclusions. Jim Jefferies says his opinion when someone criticises his material without understanding what is an opinion and what is a joke.
You can joke about anything. A joke doesn't mean intent. A joke doesn't mean you've actually done it or something like that. What this lady did was she wrote an article about me and she did a transcript of the actual routine in the article, wrote down every word that I said. Now, I hate this. And I'll tell you why. Because my whole skill in life is being able to say horrible things and still seem likable. You take the whole out of it. See, if you read my material, it's a bad read. If you just read, as rapes go, they weren't, oh my God. See, then she started to write down things. She should say things like, it is Jim Jefferies' opinion that women should be happy when they're drugged. Not my opinion. It was a joke I said, not my opinion. Not something that I think. Something that I think is funny. There is a big fucking difference between things that I think and things that I think are funny to say. If you want to know my actual opinion is this.
I don't want to be raped by Bill Cosby. I think he's a horrible fucking man. He should go to prison. That's what my real opinion is. But if I came out and said that, you'd go, oh, Jim's lost his edge. See, so people started protesting at the front of the show and people stopped showing up. Even though the shows were sold out, people stopped showing up because I was being deemed like I was a rapist. Yeah, okay. You know who never had someone protest their gigs because of their material? Bill Cosby. Because you got to give it to Bill. What a dignified man. He never said the swear words. He never lowered himself to my level. What a class act he is. Because that's why people went to see Bill Cosby, because they wanted to see a good, clean, wholesome comedian who rapes. Rather than a person like myself who is just going to say horrible things and rapes very occasionally, like hardly. I also got a lot of backlash of my last special, Bear, which is also on Netflix. I did a lot of misogynistic jokes on that special. I'm not going to hide behind it. I said a lot of misogynistic things on Bear, and I got a lot of complaint letters. And look, I find it weird because Bear was my fifth special, and I feel like I've been misogynistic on all my specials, and I haven't gotten a complaint letter till now. It just proves that with women, you really have to fucking repeat yourself before they listen. And I will defend a misogynistic joke as I defended the rape joke, as I defend any jokes. I'm joking. This is a performance. I'm an entertainer. This isn't a TED talk. You're not meant to take any of this fucking seriously.
Working as a comedian is hard, and Kathleen Madigan is looking forward to retiring.
That's what I want to do when I'm retired. I just want to drink red wine and watch House Hunters over and over. I love that show. I do. I don't know why. I don't even care about what houses these people are buying. I'm more interested in their relationships, because at least 50% of the people shouldn't even be married, more or less purchasing property together. I saw one in Atlanta. It was a man and a woman. They walked into the house, and the first thing out of the man's mouth, he goes, oh, I can't live with this backsplash. Oh, my God, ma'am. You have a much bigger problem than what house you're going to buy. You have accidentally married a gay guy, and his boyfriend is not going to approve of this ugly backsplash when he comes over here while you're at yoga, aka drinking with your girlfriends on a Thursday. I'm just amazed to, like, in my whole life, I've never punched anybody. But if I was the realtors on this show, I would punch at least half of these people, my own clients, right in the face. They are so demanding, and they naysay a house right out of the gate. They just walk in and go, "Pah, I can't live here. There's no granite countertops." I'm sorry, maybe you forgot. You have a budget of $8. Maybe you should be grateful that I'm not showing you a mobile home right now and bragging about the porch that JoJo put on before he went back to prison. What Christ's name would make you think you could have granite countertops? And it's always the meanest lady of any episode who at some point will go, "Well, I don't know if I want to live here. I don't see any room for entertaining." Well, don't worry, ma'am. No one's coming over here. You're the meanest person I've ever heard speak English on television. Seriously.
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got a legend of Ealing, Andrew Levy from the Brand New Heavies.
Hi guys.
What was it like working with Mr. Ronson?
It took me a year to realise that if I write him an email that's longer than 7 words, including not having my name underneath it or a hello on the top, he will never reply. So it took
you
me
You worked
year.
Out to the exact yeah. science of seven yeah. words. On.
Seven words.
Where's the song?
That's brilliant.
I'm gonna... Anytime soon?
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio by Ingrid Oliver and we're discussing fart jokes. Our favourite fart jokes. Have you got any favourite fart jokes? By all means, write in to...
I've been a fan of.
Hashtag, I've got a fart like, for you.
Yeah, considering I hate them, well, I'm really talking about them a lot.
I really hate acknowledging... Yeah, anyway.
So I saw a filmed insert with the band McFly and right. they're in like a limo or something chatting. And one of them farted,
oh,
and
no.
it just really made me laugh.
No.
I don't like a cartoon fart thing. I like a fart joke where it appears like someone shat themselves or something.
Oh, the shot.
Ian Boldsworth.
A perfect run-in that was to speak with Rob Schneider.
First time I ever heard the C word out loud. I mean, I knew that it existed.
Yeah.
Then when I was 13, my first trip to London, England, and like within 45 seconds of being in the country, I had heard the word about 90 times.
Yeah.
Somebody on a double-decker bus had taken somebody else's seat. The next thing you know, I said, you fucking cunt. You bloody cunt. You know, yeah. you are your fucking cunt.
Yeah. It's like...
Tuesday Takeover.
My name's Josh from The Skins. I'm joined by Holly Cook and Jamie Rodigan in Hello. The studio right now.
Yo, yo.
So, Holly, you were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier. That's an absolute mazza.
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook. But you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit... weird.
Like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is. You open up for someone that's like in the charts and it's like, we have come to
yeah.
see this band.
Yeah, exactly. They're fans.
We have come to see this band.
Who the fuck
do you think
anyone.
You are?
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on Fubar Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the sixth and last episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. This episode is all about people's different perceptions and tastes. It's true, as the wise Latins would say, there is no accounting for taste. And as Ngaio Bilim says, if you are a nerd, you should own it.
Nerds, any nerds? I'm a giant nerd, mostly comic books. Don't wear some sort of comic book superhero t-shirt around me if you don't know anything about that superhero, because I will fight you. I will. I'll tear that shirt right. You're not fit for the colors. I'm serious. If you're wearing a Green Lantern shirt and you don't know the Green Lantern oath, it's on, dog. I'm for real. Like, fuck that. Hey, what's the Green Lantern oath? Oh, Green Lantern's got an oath. Are you fucking kidding? You? How can you protect Sector 2814? You can't keep your goddamn ring charged. I'm serious. I own that shit. I had a nerd epiphany. Right, nerd, not to be confused with a nerdgasm. You know a nerdgasm? You go see Black Panther, they show an Infinity War trailer, and you hear some dude go, oh! Woo! Oh! Oh! You're Thor, I'm exhausted. I had a nerd pivot. This is what happened. I was doing the New York Times crossword puzzle in ink. Get on my level. And the clue in the crossword was like a fox, e.g., example given. But the answer in the puzzle was metaphor. And while like a fox is indeed a metaphor, technically, really, it's a simile. Right? Because it uses like or as. So I sat down to write a letter. Dear sirs, I must take exception to your crossword puzzle of June 25th. And then I realized I should just try to be more comfortable around girls. Like, what the fuck? Fucking, I'm not 80 years old writing letters to the crossword people. But that's how nerds are. Nerds like to catch nerds on technical shit, right? Like, I used to be in a rap group, and we put out an album, and I had a line in the album went, I taught a lot of lessons to MCs who test their luck. Grammatically correct, I'm not the one with which to fuck. And it's like that, right? And that's some relatively cold-blooded nerd type shit to say to somebody, right? So the album came out. 2 weeks later, I got an email. Dear sir, to be grammatically correct, you're not the one with whom to fuck. Damn! right, and I wanted to be all artistic license, sir. But I had to be all well played. That's what nerds do. That's the reason that Star Trek has a Heisenberg compensator. Some of you are with me. Some of you, I'm going to break it down. Hold on, I got cotton mouth. The atomic physicist Heisenberg postulates that while you may know exactly how many atoms are in any given object, like a microphone or a microphone stand or a delicious chocolate comedian, you cannot pinpoint their exact location because they're very, very small and they move really, really fast. So by the time you figure out where it is already somewhere else, right? It's part, not all, don't argue with me after the show, it is part of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And if you accept that, then teleporters don't work. Right? Right? It's like, bzz, bzz, ah, shit, Ambassador Blob, more tests. So some nerd figured that shit out right away and fired off a hot little letter, right? Dear sirs, I must take exception to your use of the teleporter as a primary transportation device. Perhaps you were unfamiliar with Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which states in part, et cetera, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Your friend Chad. Chad, clearly forgetting that Star Trek is fucking chock full of nerds, right? It's for nerds by nerds. It's like sideways FUBU. It's Finbin. Not to be confused with Fizbin, that's just for David, but it's a piece of the action, sorry. But they wrote him back right away. Dear sir, perhaps you missed episode 6 of the 3rd season where we introduced a Heisenberg compensator. Which allows us to compensate for any uncertainties we may encounter. Good luck meeting girls. Everyone here at Star Trek.
It is quite clear that N'Gayo would never miss a Marvel convention. However, some people could do anything to not turn up to a gig. Marc Maron explains how he tried to avoid a Rolling Stones concert.
I don't do things. I don't do stuff. I don't know why I don't do stuff. I kind of know why. All right, example. I got an opportunity to see the Rolling Stones. I was given tickets to see the Rolling Stones the first date of their last stadium tour, San Diego, right? The first date, I was given tickets on the field. And the day I was given those tickets, my first thought was like, ah, fucking parking's gonna... That's gonna be a clusterfuck. Parking down there, an arena. Are they even equipped for that? Do they have lots? What's up down there? What? And my friend Dean was like, oh, we're going. It's the Stones. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. All right. But then I had to examine, why didn't I want to go see the Stones? And there was like a level, there's a couple levels of excuses. Like part of me was like, well, you know, Bill Wyman's not playing bass anymore. So they're not really the Stones. He hasn't played with them for 20 years. That's like saying like, I haven't bought a Stones record since Brian Jones died. It's just not a viable excuse. So then I thought about it more and I realized like, oh, you know what it is? It's because they're old. Now, I'm not being an ageist, right? I just didn't want it to be sad. I have a lot of belief and faith and love for the Rolling Stones. They are bigger than life. They're my favorite band. They've been there for me forever. They need to stay the Rolling Stones. I can't go to a Rolling Stones show and be like, oh no. I can't let that happen. I was concerned. I was actually concerned for the Stones. I'm like, I don't even think they should be doing it anymore. But we went. Dean and I went, parked on the 4th level of the structure. And we get down to the field, and everyone, there's people all ages. Dean's looking around, a lot of reading glasses out. There were guys older than me, guys my age, young people, because they're the Stones, greatest rock and roll band in the world, mythic, the Rolling Stones. I think I was the only one there who was concerned. I'm like, I don't know how this is gonna go. I don't know, I'm a little worried. Everyone's like, yeah, and I'm like, So I was really worried. So the opening band does their thing. Then they bring them out, the Rolling Stones, and they all come out, and I'm like, So then there's Keith. Keith's doing a good job of being Keith at 72. His hair is natural color. He's not dangling shit from it anymore. He's looking good. He's doing a few of these. Couple of these. But not pushing it. Doing a good job. From what I could see of Charlie, he's looking good. He's solid, gray hair, solid on the drums, looking good. Ronnie's a problem. Ronnie's a problem. His hair's dyed, he's running around. It's a little embarrassing, but he's the kid. He's 68, so I'm gonna give Ronnie a pass. Now, if you're a real Stones fan, I believe that some part of you just tolerates Mick Jagger, all right? You know he's important, he's the Rolling Stones, but yeah, it's Mick Jagger. So when Mick came out, it was different. Like, Mick comes out and right away he's like, and like, part of me was like, oh my. Isn't he a little old to be? I don't know if he should be doing that. That man, his age. I was embarrassed, you know? But then, like, I settled into it. I'm like, well, he's Mick Jagger. He does that. If anyone's going to do that, let Mick do it. So I settled in, and I was like, all right, okay, it's not sad. It took him, like, 3 songs to pull it together, but I like that. It's sort of like rock and roll's dirty. It's fucked up. Let him figure it out. So by the 4th song, I was up on my chair, like, yay! You know? But then something happened. Well, it was kind of rough and beautiful at the same time. So they're going to do Moonlight Mile from Sticky Fingers, challenging song for the Stones at any age. He's got to do falsetto. It's a slow song. They put him way out in the audience on his own platform, Mick, with a guitar. I think the other guys were kind of concerned. They were like... You know, and I'm watching him, and he's doing it, and he's hitting it, man. He's hitting the falsetto. It's working. Like, he's in it. And out of nowhere, I just start crying. I'm crying. Like, I look like one of those black and white photographs of those, like, 16-year-old girls in the 60s. Like, tears are running down my face. And right in the middle of that moment, something horrible happened. They got the big screen, and they go right in on Mick's face. Like, right here. And there it is, 50 feet big. And I'm like, oh, God, why are you doing that to Mick? You could see everything, all the lines and the dyed hair. I'm like, dude, stop it, take it down. And it was sad. I was like, this is so horrible. Why are they doing that? And I just kept looking at him. And all of a sudden, it, like, just hit me. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is amazing that these guys are still doing those songs now with all this experience and pain and wisdom and just life behind them. Brings a depth to it that wasn't there before. It's fucking unbelievable. They're still the huge Rolling Stones. It's like a beautiful. I mean, because I started thinking about it. It's like, it's a lot riskier for those guys to be doing this shit now than it was in 1972. I mean, in 1972, if Richards was, like, fucked up on heroin and he fell into a Marshall stack in the middle of the show and they had to cancel it, half the audience would be like, ah, fucking Keith! Man, he was so fucked up! They couldn't even finish! I love it! I love it! They didn't care. But now, like, they're old and they're doing this shit and they're running around. there was points where I'm like, come, take it easy, fellas. Don't go crazy. Because Mick's running. He's running from side to side. And I was just like, slow down. Because what if it was like, he was just like, yeah. Keith, help me, Keith. Oh, God. It's happened. It's happened. Like, if that happened, an entire generation of people would just be out there going like, Ah, fuck, it's over. Mick is down. We're dying. We're dying.
Unfortunately, this is everything for today's show. But keep updated and don't miss out on all our wonderful shows. Always on FUBAR Radio.
That was Comedy with £800 Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.